Let's go to Isaiah 66. There's something so powerful in this verse. I quote it to myself all the time. All the time I quote this verse to myself. And it's just the last part of the verse. So I'm going to just read the last part, because that's the part the Holy Spirit wants to leave with you. Because this is what you and I want. But to this man will I look. God speaking. And you go, whoa, I want to be that man. I want to be that individual that God says he'll set his eye on me. Do not think God sees congregations. Do not think that. He sees hearts. It says in another place, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, looking for someone. That's God. He doesn't look down and go, oh, there's the Alliance Church. He sees every man's heart, every person's heart there. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro looking for someone. So God says here, but to this one will I look. And you go, okay, I want to know what it is God's looking for. I want to know what it is that draws him to me. You know, like you look at the bees out there, they're flying around, and it's the flower that draws the bee. God's eyes are running to and fro. He's looking for something. He's not looking for just anything. He's looking for something specific. And if you want the attention and the heart of God to be upon you, listen to what this verse says. Let these words just find entrance into your heart. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit. And I love this last verse. And trembleth at my word. I got people I've known for 50 years almost. What characterizes a man that trembles at the word of God? A man that reads the word of God and trembles at it says, I've got to walk in that word. I know people who, because of religious confessions, they'll read a word and they'll go, yeah, doesn't mean, you know, yeah, I know it says that. Have you heard people say that about the word of God? Yeah, I know it says that. Well, they don't tremble at the word of God. The word of God doesn't have an effect on them. Yeah, I know it says that. But hey, I made my confession. I've had some sort of a born-again experience, and I'm kind of comfortable where I am. God's wrath has passed. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. I've been sanctified. They don't tremble at God's word. God's eye is not on them. When the word of God begins to impart to you the will of God, now God goes, my eye's on that one. My eye is on that heart that wants to walk with me. God says in another place, can two walk together except they be agreed? I read his word. His word says, I'm going to chasten you. His word says, I'm going to correct you. His word says, we're going to have a little set to here now and then. And you go, awesome, Lord. I want your word to cut away everything in my life that isn't compatible with you. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Well, Brian, your obedience might bring you to martyrdom. That's okay, Lord. That's okay. I'm here to walk with you. We want his eye on us. We want him to go, I got my eye on that one. There's a man there that I can share the secrets of my heart to, and he's going to respond to me. You want to grow in God? You want to become all that he has purposed? Tremble at his word. Man, when I got saved, I started reading this word, and it came to me so clear in my early days that whatever's in here that ain't in here, I'm the one with the problem. That makes you poor. What does it say? To this one will I look, to him that is poor. When you start reading the word of God and you start going, I can't walk in that. I want to walk in it. God says that's the poverty. What does it say? Blessed are the poor in spirit. What's the promise to the poor in spirit? For theirs is the kingdom of God. When you start recognizing your inability to walk in the Word, you go, I need the Holy Spirit. I need the Spirit of Christ in me to fulfill Christ's Word. It's a logical conclusion. And yet how many excuse themselves from the Word? So one day, I had a brother that I'd been burdened for 20 years, minimum 20 years. And I'm crying out to God on his behalf. And the Lord gave me a word for him, but it was a word for myself. And that word was, whatever light you refuse to face here, you will face there. Whatever word you put away from yourself, whatever light that you don't want to deal with as God illuminates your heart, well, you don't have to face it here. But I guarantee you, you will face it over there. When you stand before the one who is light, there's no escaping that. So Jesus said, there's only two kinds of people in the world. He says you can fall on the rock voluntarily by the faith in the outworking of the Holy Spirit and be broken. Or guess what? The rock will fall on you. I guarantee you the first one's a far better. Door number one is better than door number two. And so allow the Spirit of God to produce in you a trembling when you read the word. Never excuse yourself from anything the word declares. Let it hit you and let you recognize your absolute need for the life of Christ within you to walk it out. And the only reason you're seeing something is because he's revealing something. And with every revelation of Christ, there's a powerful five-letter word called grace. Grace is not the sentiment of God. Grace is the power of God. Let's go to Romans 5. I'll stop here. Because, man, this is what makes the gospel so exciting. This is where Paul defines what grace is. Therefore, being justified by faith, Romans 5, 1 and 2, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. So it's through the medium of faith that grace comes to you. Faith is the thing that lays hold of grace and empowers you to stand in the midst of trial and tribulation. Grace makes you able to reveal Christ in you. By faith, we have access into this grace. I love it. God has a provision for you. So when you start reading the Word, you start trembling at the depth, the height, and the wonder of it, don't run from it. Whatever God reveals to you is His promise by grace that it will be. So in, I think it's at the end of Hebrews 12, we come to what? The throne of grace. Think about the throne of grace. It means God's bringing you to the place where grace reigns in you. There is a grace. What is that grace for? For you to find help in time of need. I got to find that here. But that's, see, you've been called to the kingdom of God. You've been called to His lordship in your life. And God says, my throne is a throne of grace to enable you. See, the word of God, for it to be embraced, you have to be convinced of the fact that God, it says, that's out of Hebrews 2, the God who has promised you cannot lie. He can't lie. So in His word, He speaks to you and He goes, here's what I'm after. Well, your faith goes, it's impossible for me to walk in that. But nevertheless, there's a throne of grace. Ho, ho, ho. Now I am confident that my God is able to bring me into that which He desires. That's where this thing gets good. That's where this thing takes on the dynamic and the awesomeness. And I know people for 40, 50 years, they talk about it. They'll talk about it till the cows come home. The kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. Never rest in your Christian experience until you are walking in the thing that God has called you to. We're called to walk, not talk.